Okay, Erev Tov, everybody. Nice to see everybody. Hope I haven't seen everybody since Yontif, I guess, since before Yontif. So I hope everybody had a nice Yontif. I know that feels like already ancient history, right? Get back into the swing of life. But I hope everybody's doing well. It's a pleasure to welcome to making her debut, Shechiyanu, on Torah Motion, Parsha Shir, Torah Motion, Lior Moskowitz. And I think it's kind of cool when part of the resume is to say when somebody went to high school. Like, I don't put that on my resume anymore. But when we have young, up-and-coming women scholars, a wonderful new era that we're in. So Lior Moskowitz is a graduate of Frisch and spent the year at TVA and graduate of Stern in Jewish Studies. And she is now in GPATS, Graduate Program of Advanced Talmud Study for Women. And so it's a pleasure to welcome her living in Teaneck. And as you heard, we'll be working this summer as the head of Chinuch at Moshe Babeir at the first school. Okay, so Vakasha, it's a pleasure to welcome Liora for today's Parsha Shir.
Thank you, Rabbi Kelman. Thank you, everyone, for having me tonight. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm learning in GPATS with Rabbi Kelman's daughter, Tara. She's actually not going to be GPATS anymore next year, so we'll miss her, but it's always a pleasure to have her. Okay, thank you for having me. I'm going to share our source sheet for tonight right over here. Let's see. Everyone sees it? Thumbs up? Yeah, awesome. Okay.
Okay. You want to make it a little bigger, you know, so
yeah. Oh, that's a little too big. How's that?
I think that's okay.
Bigger? Smaller?
It's fine for me, but let's see what everybody else says. I think it's fine.
Sure. If anyone has any objections, you can put it in the chat. Here. Oh, I'm so sorry. Get my screen good here. Okay, awesome. Okay. Thank you everyone for joining tonight. I'm very excited to learn together with everybody. Our topic for tonight is going to be the topic of Nazir. I'll give you a little tidbit about that I heard in a Parsha Shir from Rabbi Arya Leibowitz, Mori Virabi, just to open up our topic of Nazir, then we'll really get into it. You know, there's some questions that rabbis don't ever expect to be asked a shayla about. And Nazir might be one of them, right? Because does Nazir really come up in everyday life? We don't really have Naziris nowadays. We'll discuss later about why we don't have that. And someone once asked Rabbi Leibowitz, they said, I have a pressing shayla for you. I'm having a Nazir over at my Pesach Seder. And you know, you could rattle through your head, what issues might you think come up if a Nazir is coming to your Pesach Seder? There are lots of issues. The person says, what should I do about Charoset? You know, usually put wine in Charoset. I'm not sure what to do because I have a Nazir coming. What a strange question. Charoset is your biggest problem at the Seder? You have Dalet Koso. You have a lot of wine going on at Seder. Interesting question about Charoset. But anyways, we don't really have Naziris nowadays. It's not really a halacha issue that should come up nowadays. And what we're going to discuss tonight is the topic of a Nazir and how the Torah views a Nazir. So first, let's just define what a Nazir is. We can look in at source number one, and we'll see the three underlines are going to give us the three basic outlines of what the rules of a Nazir are. So number one, a Nazir, as most know, is not allowed to drink wine or any kind of products that are with grapes, right? So if you see over here in Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk says, Miyayin v'sheichar, Yazir chometz yayin v'chometz sheichar, lo yishte. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine or any kind of alcoholic beverages. And the Pasuk can go on to say, even anything that's made of grapes or the vines of grapes, he has to stay really far away from everything with grapes. That's number one. Rule number two about a Nazir is that a Nazir is not allowed to shave his hair or get any kinds of haircuts. So if you look in Pasuk Hey, you see the underlined part, Ta'ar lo ya'avor al rosho. A person who is a Nazir shouldn't shave his head. He shouldn't use scissors to cut his hair. He has to grow out his hair really long. And number three, third rule about a Nazir is that he cannot become tamei lameit. He can't impurify himself by having contact with a dead body. As the Pasuk says, as you see in Pasuk Vav, Kol yimei hiziro laHashem al nefesh meit lo yavo. For all the time that a person is a Nazir, he cannot become tamei lameit. So those are our three basic outlines just to define our terms here of a Nazir. A Nazir can't drink wine, he can't get his hair cut, and he can't become tamei lameit. So just on the outset of seeing the laws of a Nazir, what might we think? Does it seem like the Torah is saying it's good to be a Nazir, it's bad to be a Nazir. Are these things positive or negative in any which way? Is it kind of neutral? So before we see what the Mefarshim and the Rishonim and the Poskim have to say about Nazir, let's just think about it ourselves for a second. At first glance, drinking, let's first see how Nazir might be viewed positively. We can go through the three. So number one, not drinking wine. Is that positive or negative? You could say maybe it's a positive thing, right? Wine often we see in Tanakh leads to bad things. We see by Noah, we see by Lot, it leads to promiscuity, it could lead to negative things. And in general, we always say, right, we tell teenagers that wine isn't good, they should stay away from alcohol, because it could lead to not such good things. So maybe by a person saying, I'm not going to drink wine, we could view that as a positive. Let's see number two. Number two is not cutting your hair and not shaving your hair. Is that positive or negative? Maybe you could also say that it's positive because, right, we see in Chumash, we see about Yosef that Yosef was, right, the Rashi says that Yosef was very involved in his looks. He was misalsel with his hair. He cared a lot about how he looked. So maybe if a Nazir isn't shaving his hair, he's not cutting his hair, he's kind of taking a step back from Olam Hazeh type of things, taking a step back from his physical appearance, and maybe that's positive. And number three, not becoming Tamei Lameit, that could certainly be a positive. That could certainly elevate him to a high level of Kedusha, because we know that out of all the kinds of Tumah, a dead body is the Avi Avos HaTumah. A dead body is the highest possible level of Tumah. So, of course, if a person wants to make himself holy, he wants to make himself kadosh, he should stay as far away as possible from Tumah. So maybe, according to those things, we could see at first glance, maybe a Nazir is positive, right? He wants to abstain from wine because he doesn't want to get into any bad behaviors. He doesn't care so much about his looks, and he wants to stay far, far away from Tumah. On first glance, on the other side, maybe we could see that these things may be a little bit negative. Right, so let's start with number one. We're going to see this a lot later in the Gemara, the Rishonim, and the Poskim. Is it good or bad to separate from wine? You could say, actually, it's not so good to separate from wine, right? Even within Judaism, we see that we often take wine and we elevate it, we make it positive, right? We have wine as a kos shel bracha, let's say, on Berachas HaMazon, at a bris, at a wedding. We have wine all the time. I was actually just for Shavuos this past week, I was just in Charleston and I was running some kids programming in Charleston, and we made this little cute headband game, you know, where the kid puts a headband on and they have to guess what they are. And so we made it all different kinds of Torah themes. And so we put all different kinds of mitzvot and events and holidays on it. And I drew little pictures next to all of the words because I thought it'd be more fun. The kids would think it's interesting. And I found myself drawing a kiddush cup on like every single one of them. I'm like, wow, our religion must love drinking wine. Everything I'm doing a bris, I'm doing arba kosot, I'm doing kiddush on Shabbos, I'm doing havdalah. Everything involves the kosher bracha. So maybe actually it's a positive thing to have wine. And if a Nazir is removing himself from having wine, maybe that's not so good. Let's see number two. That was one about wine. Number two about shaving and not cutting his hair. Is that good or bad to not cut one's hair? I don't know. On the one hand, it shows that you don't care about physical appearance, which might be good, but it might be bad to not care at all about what you look like and to look disheveled without cutting your hair. I have an uncle who, I wouldn't say this about him. He used to say it about himself. He used to say, I am like a Nazir. He was a mountain climber. He climbed Mount Everest. He didn't get married and have kids for a while. It's like, for your spirit. And he had long hair. And so he said, oh, I'm like a Nazir. Now, was that the most positive thing? Unclear. Maybe not. Also, if you think about it, what's another time that we see that people don't cut their hair, don't shave? This came up really recently, right? In the time period of Sfiras HaOmer, we also do it during the 3 weeks because it's a sign of Avelu, right? It shows our mourning if we don't cut our hair. So maybe not cutting your hair is actually a negative thing. And number three is not becoming Tameh, right? So we would think that that's good. That one seems for sure. Like a dead body, that is Avi Avos HaTumah. If we want to be Kadosh, we want to be holy, we should stay far away from that. But actually, if you look at the Pasuk right after the Pasuk where it says not to come into contact with a dead body, everyone could look in source number one, Pasuk Zion, it says that even for a close family member, a Nazir doesn't become Tameh. Even for his father, his mother, his siblings, even for those, even a Kohen who usually can't become Tameh, he becomes Tameh for his father, his mother, any of those close relatives. But a Nazir doesn't. He stays far away. So maybe we could say that's a little bit extreme, right? On the one hand, it's good to be a person of Kedusha and to be on a high elevated level, but to not even become tummy for your close relatives, maybe that's not really a good thing. So that just at first glance, that's a little bit of what might we think in the beginning when we just look straight at the Pesukim about a Nazir. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look closer at these Pesukim about Nazir, and we're going to see a total contradiction in the Pesukim. On the one hand, the Pesukim are going to say that a Nazir is holy and it's good and people should strive to be a Nazir. On the other hand, the Pesukim we're going to see is going to say that it's bad to be a Navi. It might even be a Nazir. It might even be a sin to be a Nazir, and it's not good. And we're going to see this machloket, we're going to see this debate follow through in the Pesukim, in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, in the Ramban, in the Rambam. We're going to see a big contradiction in the Rambam, maybe how we can resolve the contradiction in the Rambam, all the way to the Shulchan Aruch. It's not clear in the Pesukim, and it's such a cool sugya because it's not only that the Pesukim are unclear, we're going to see it's going to follow us through all the generations. And then maybe from this halachic topic of Nazir, about whether it's good or not, whether it's praiseworthy or frowned upon to be a Nazir, we can extrapolate from that some hashkafic points about what kind of lives we live. A life of more extremism, like a Nazir, more of a life of balance, not like a Nazir. And we'll go back and forth and see if we could find the complexities and the nuances within Nazir that could maybe shed light on a broader issue of proper midot to have and ways to live our life. So with that little introduction, we're going to start really now with the Pesukim. Okay, so now we're in source number one, right? We want to know whether it's good to be a Nazir or whether it's bad to be a Nazir. And we see in the three underlined sections of number one are the three rules of a Nazir. He can't drink wine, he can't cut his hair, he can't become tamei lameit. Now we're going to look at the bolded sections in source number one, where the pasuk is going to tell us objectively if a Nazir is good or if a Nazir is bad. So let's look at the first one in Pasuk Hay. We see that the Pasuk, when it's talking about not cutting his hair, it says right here in the bolded part of Pasuk Hay, Kadosh Yehiyeh. A Nazir should be Kadosh. A Nazir is Kadosh. A Nazir is holy. And then it says, he's holy and Gadel Parasar Rosho. And also a Nazir grows out his hair, and his hair is like a beautiful thing on the top of his head. Like a crown on his head. So this seems to show that a Nazir is holy, right? The Pasuk uses the word kadosh. Kedoshim tihiyu. We always want to strive to be holy. And this is saying a Nazir, he's kadosh, he's holy. Now let's look at the Pasuk Yud Aleph. So on one hand, we have a Nazir, he's kadosh, he's holy. On the other hand, how do you get out of Nazirut? Right? If somebody takes an oath, they say, I take upon myself to be a Nazir. How do they get themselves out of being a Nazir? This is the reason, by the way, that we don't have Nazirs nowadays. It's because you have to bring a korban. You have to bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash. So technically, a person could be a Nazir nowadays. A person could take upon themselves a vow that they're going to be a Nazir and not do all these things. But it's a little bit risky because there's no way out of it until the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. So if we look at the Pesukim where it talks about the specific type of korban that a Nazir is supposed to bring, if you look in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Ve'asa ha-kohen echad lechatat. The Nazir is going to bring two korbanot here. And what's the first korban that he brings? Ve'asa ha-kohen echad lechatat. It's a korban chatat, a korban of that you bring if you do a transgression, if you do something wrong. And the other one is an ola, and then the rest of the psukim go on a little bit more about which types of korbanot are brought. But that's actually very strange if you think about it, right? When a Nazir is ending his period of Naziris, where he took on this Kiddusha, this elevated level, now he goes and he has to bring a Korban Chatat. Well, what kind of sin did he do? So this is going to be a matter of lots of debate among the Rishonim and the Rashi and coming on after that. So let's go into the question a little bit of when the Pasuk says that he has to bring a Korban Chatat, what might be the reason that he brings a Chatat? It seems very strange, right? So if we look at Rashi in source number two, he brings us two answers. One we're going to focus on a little bit later, and one we'll look at now. Rashi says, answer number one, Shalom nizhar mitumas tumas hamis. We'll see that coming up later. He wasn't careful about becoming tamei lameit. We'll see how that fits with the psukim later, and that's why he's to bring a chatat. And the other answer that Rashi brings, this is what we're really going to go into in the Gemara. Rashi says, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer, Shetzir Atmo Min Hayayin. The reason that a Nazir has to bring a Korban Chatat, he did something wrong, is that by becoming a Nazir, he inherently did something wrong. Becoming a Nazir itself is a transgression. Why? Because he was Tzir Atmo Min Hayayin. Because he pained himself by separating from wine. By abstaining from wine, he actually transgressed an Avera. And because he transgressed an Avera, he therefore has to bring a Korban Chatat. So it's very strange if we take a step back and say, what did we just see in the Pesukim? On the one hand, the Pesukim say, a Nazir is a Kadosh, he's a holy, he's an elevated person, right? And Pesuk Hei said, Kadoshi, Yehiyah, he's a holy person. On the other hand, when he ends his prayer of Naziris, he has to bring a Korban Chatat. You only bring a Korban Chatat if you did something wrong. He's not showing his thanks to Hashem, saying, a Nazir did something wrong. And Avraham Rashi's quoting, he's saying, the actual act of becoming a Nazir, of separating himself, of abstaining, that in and of itself is a transgression. So it's very strange, right? And sometimes we will approach something in Torah and we'll say, the pasuk is ambiguous about what it thinks about this person. It's not really so clear. Like, but I think that here it's not that the pasukim aren't clear. It's that the pasukim are contradictory, right? It's one hand he's a kadosh, other hand he's a chote. So let's explore a little bit more about which one is it. Do we agree with the side of the psukim that say kadosh yehiyah, or do we view nazir as a sin? And I think the broader hashkafic topic that this is all hinging on is it good for us to be a little extreme sometimes, to be like a nazir and to totally abstain, to totally separate ourselves from this world? Or is it better for us to be balanced people, to say we can handle wine in small doses, we don't have to totally take ourselves out of becoming tummy for our family members and of caring about our looks? So that's the broader hashkafic topic we're talking about. But more specifically, more right in this sugya, we're going to talk about, is it good or bad to be a nazir? So with that background of the psukim, we're going to go into the Gemara in Tani, in source number 3. Now, if you've ever learned Masechet Tani before, right, what would you expect in learning Masechet Tani? Probably it's going to be a lot about fasties, right? That's what the name of it is. Which, in fact, it is a lot about fasties, but often people are surprised when they learn it because a ton of the beginning is all about rain, right? It makes sense because you fast if it doesn't rain for a certain amount of time. And there's dapim and dapim about different kinds of rain and different kinds of clouds and different kinds of effects it might have on the ground. But the Gemara that we're going to see in Tani actually does have to do with fasting. It's going to have to do with whether or not it's a good thing to fast, right? So we do it a lot in our calendar. We have a lot of fasts. Is it good? Is it bad to fast? And the fasts that we have, of course, we need to keep. But the question of the Gemara is, should a person be more righteous than that and take upon fast days on his own accord? Or should we just stick to what the Torah gives us and to what Chazal gives us in terms of fasts? So let's see the Gemara. This is an awesome shiur that you guys have every week here because it's a nice hour-long block. So it really gives us time to delve into the sources. So what I want to do as we go through the shiurs, we're really going to learn through the Gemaras. We're going to learn through the Rashis and the Tosfosim. And with that, maybe we'll be able to together build up the sugya. So let's go right into the Gemara in source number 3. The beginning of the Gemara starts with the question of whether or not it's good to fast. And Shmuel gives the first answer. Shmuel's up first. He says, Amar Shmuel. I'm in the first line of source number 3. The Gemara in Tani, Daf Yod Aleph. Shmuel says, Kol Hayoshi B'Tani, one who sits and fasts on his own accord, he takes upon himself fasts, Nikra Chote, is called a sinner. Now, where do we recognize this word of Chote from? Maybe from our second before, right? Of a Nazir bringing Korban Chatat. Anyone who sits and fasts is considered a sinner. And why does he hold this way? Savar ki haitana. He holds like the Tana who says, the Tanya, as it says in a Braita, Rabbi Elazar HaKafar b'Rabbi Omer. He's quoting Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, which is who? Who we just saw in Rashi in the first source, right? We're going to see that inside the source itself now, inside the Gemara. And Rabbi Elazar HaKafar says, Ma Talmud Lomar, the Chiper Alav Ma'asher Chata Al HaNefesh. What did the Pasuk say? What did it mean when it said that a person has to bring a chata in order to get kapara for what the Nazir did? V'ki be'ezu nefesh chatazeh. What sin did he do? The Gemara answers, Ela shetzier atzmo min hayayin, which is what we saw in Rashi. The sin of the Nazir is that he separated himself from wine. He totally abstained from wine. And Rabbi Elazar Kapara is saying, maybe it's not so good to abstain from wine. Maybe we shouldn't totally go cold turkey and say, all wine is usser. And then he's going to extrapolate from Nazir to our broader topic here in Masechet Tanit of, is it a good idea to fast or not to fast? And he says, V'halodvarim kavachomer. Doesn't it seem like a kavachomer that umazeh shalotzir atzmo elamin hayayin nikrachote? If a person who abstains just from wine, just from one item on the menu, is called a chote, then hamitzayir atzmo we call davar v'davar, somebody who abstains from every single food, meaning, aka, one who fasts, al acha kama v'kama. So much more so is he considered a sinner. So Shmuel is coming down hard here. He's saying, a nazir sinned by abstaining from wine, and therefore, if someone who abstains from just one thing is a sinner, then of course somebody who fasts all the time, that's totally a chatat, that's totally a chote, and a person should definitely, certainly not do that. So that's the opinion of Shmuel. That's going to be opinion number one. Now let's see opinion number two in the Gemara. Totally opposing there. That opinion of Rabbi Elazar. So continuing on the end of the third line in the Gemara, we have Rabbi Elazar Omer, Nigra Kadosh, a person who fasts all the time, a person who takes upon fasts himself, he's Nigra Kadosh, he's called a holy person. Why does he think so? He's also going to bring a raya from our Pesukim, right? Because what did our Pesukim Ben Nazir say? One Pesuk said he has to bring a chata, he's like a sinner. The other, the earlier part of the Pesukim said, he's Kadosh. So let's see. He's going to bring a raya right from our Pesukim in Parsha Nasa. Shene'emar, Kadosh Yehiyeh Gadel Peres Arosho. He's Kadosh. He's a holy person. And just like he keeps his hair to grow out, and his hair will be holy. And he brings also Kavachomer. He says, Uma Zeh Shelotzir Atmo Ela Midavar Echad Nikra Kadosh. If a Nazir who abstains from just one thing, just from wine, is called holy, Hamitzar Atmo Mikol Davar Al Achas Kama Vakama. Then of course somebody who abstains from all items on the menu, from all foods, he's going to be even more elevated, even more holy. So we have two sides here, right? We have Shmuel who's saying somebody who fasts all the time, we learn from Nazir, he's called a chote, he's a sinner. On the other side, we have Rabbi Elazar who says someone who fasts all the time, as we learn from a Nazir from the same source, is a kadosh, he's totally praiseworthy. So which one is it? Which one is a person who fasts good or bad? Which hinges on the question of, is a Nazir good or bad? Good question, very unclear. Okay, so before we see the third opinion of Reish Lakish, what the Gemara is just going to do is it's going to ask, what does each opinion do with the other side? Meaning, Shmuel, who says that he's a chote, what's he going to do with the pasuk which says that a nazir is kadosh? And Rabbi Elazar, who says that a nazir is kadosh, what's he going to do with the fact that a nazir has to bring a korban chata? So let's just see the little technical inside of the Gemara of how they each deal with the other side of the pasukim. We're over here at Ulishmuel Ha'ikri. Ulishmuel, according to Shmuel, who says that a nazir is a chote, he's a sinner, Ha'ikri kadosh. Doesn't the pasuk say he's kadosh? So how does he deal with that? So he has a pretty good answer. He says, Hahu agito perakai. That is, when it says kadosh, that's referring to growing out his hair. Because right, like we saw earlier, we see that the pasuk, when it says kadosh, it's in the same line, it's in the same flow of the sentence as saying that he has to grow out his hair. So Shmuel can just say, his hair is what's kadosh, meaning his hair is holy, it's hektish, you can't benefit from it, you should throw his hair in the fire with the korban at the end. But it's not saying that a nazir himself is a person of kedusha. It's a nazir is a chote, but his hair is kadosh. So that's how Shmuel works it out, and that could be all fine according to Shmuel. And what about according to Rabbi Elazar? Well, Rabbi Elazar, hanikra chote. What does Rabbi Elazar do? He's saying, a nazir is kadosh, but doesn't he have to bring a korban chata? Isn't he a chote? So how does he answer that? Rabbi Elazar says, hahu desa'iv nafshe. what's the reason that he's called a chote? What's the reason that he has to bring korban chatas? He says, also, if you look back closer in the psukim, you'll see that the psukim are talking about a case where someone was a nazir. We can actually see it inside the psukim. A person is a nazir. He took this vow upon himself and all the rules of naziris apply. But then one day he happens to be standing in a building. He's standing in some kind of ohel, some kind of structure. And if we look in Pasuk Tet, something terrible happens. He's standing inside of the house and v'kiyamut mit alav. A random person who's standing in the same area as him just suddenly drops dead. Bepeta, pitaom, just suddenly out of the blue. So he couldn't have expected it. He totally didn't mean to. But what happens? He's now standing under the same roof as a person who died, as a mate, as a dead body. And that made him become tamei lamait. So even though it was by accident, Rabbi Elazar is saying he has to bring a korban chatas for that. He accidentally violated his vow of naziris because he came in contact with a dead body, and therefore he has to bring a chatas. But that's not to say that a nazir is a chote, that it's bad to be a nazir. Rabbi Elazar is saying, in fact, it is great to be a nazir. He is called kadosh. The only reason he has to bring a chatas is because of this technicality that he was under the same roof as a dead body, and therefore he's going to have to bring a chatas. So those are our main limudim from the Gemara. Either you could say he's kadosh, or you could say he's a chote. And there are ways to deal with it on both sides. They're both valid opinions. Now, Reish Lakish has very interesting opinion in the Gemara. And it's not so much Reish Lakish's opinion that's interesting. It's how Rashi and Tosfos are going to deal with Reish Lakish. You could look at the bolded underline in source number 3 in the Gemara and Tani. Reish Lakish says, Reish Lakish Amar, Nikra Chassid. He is called a chassid. He's called a pious person. Now, what's interesting about Reish Lakish is he didn't specify who is called a chassid. He said, Nikra Chassid. He is called a chassid. Now, you might assume that he is one who fasts all the time, right? Because the same language is used by Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar said, Nikra Kadosh. And that we took to mean one who fasts all the time is considered to be Kadosh. Which is exactly what Rashi says, right? Usually Rashi will say the pshat of the Gemara, and he'll say what normally we would expect. So in source number 4, you see Rashi says, Nikra Chassid, who is the subject of Nikra Chassid in Reish Lakish? Rashi says, Hamid Ana, one who fasts all the time is considered a Chassid. So if you say like Rashi, then it seems like a Nazir is very praiseworthy. He's great. He's a person who fasts all the time is called a chassid, and also a nazir is called a chassid. But if you look at number 5, Tosfos says the exact opposite, which is actually interesting. Right? Usually when you're on a daf Gemara and you see a Tosfos, there could be two approaches to when you see a really short Tosfos. I give you the whole Tosfos here. I didn't cut anything out of it. So when you see a short Tosfos, you know, I'm in GPATS, we do a lot of Tosfosim, and we'll look at the daf Makor, so we'll say, oh, it's a short Tosfos. So first we get excited, like, ooh, it's not going to take us so long. It's very short. And then you start the Tosfos and you realize, oh, man, it's very long, but that's where it gets really hard, right? You see a little bit of Tosfos, but then you don't have anything to really work with to help you explain the Tosfos. But this Tosfos in source number 5 is not so. It's actually fine. He's very straightforward, this Tosfos. What does he say? The exact opposite of Rashi. Tosfos says, who is called a chassid according to Reish Lakish? Someone who does not fast is called a chassid, meaning someone who eats a proper amount, someone who's a balanced person, that is called a chassid. So we see not only in the Gemara, even in Rashi and Tosfos, is it good to fast? Is it good to be a nazir? Is he nikra chassid? Is he nikra chote? Very unclear. Rashi says someone who fasts is called a chassid. Tosfos says someone who doesn't fast is called a chassid. Totally opposite sides of the spectrum. Very unclear how still the Torah is viewing a nazir. Good. So now we'll move on a little bit from the Psukim and the Gemara, and we're going to see some Rishonim. Rishonim's view on whether a nazir is good or whether a nazir is bad. So let's see the Ramban. The Ramban in source number 6. The Ramban is answering the question of when the Psukim say that a nazir has to bring a korban chatat, what's the reason that a nazir has to bring a korban chatat, right? What was his sin in that is requiring him to bring a korban chatat? And the Ramban, we're going to see the Ramban, and then just a little short halacha on the Shulchan Aruch, who are both going to view a Nazir very positively. They're going to say that a Nazir is very good. So let's see the Ramban. The Ramban says, the reason for a chatat, we can start in the bolding part, is in source number 6. The Aldera Chapshat, the Ramban says, the Pshat interpretation is, Ki ha'ish azeh chote binafsho, the Nazir is sinning. Why is he, what's his sin? He says, the Melot ha'nazirut, Ki ata Nazir miktushato v'avoda Hashem. When he was a Nazir, he was consecrated to this high level. The Nazir was on an elevated level of Avodas Hashem. He was a very holy, elevated person. V'ra'oi hayalo sheyazir la'olam. Once a person, the Ramban says, took upon himself a vow of Nazirut, he should really be a Nazir forever. That's the state that he should stay in because he's elevated. He's in a high level of Avodas Hashem. But v'yamod kol yamav Nazir v'kadosh, right? He should stay for his whole life being a Nazir and kadosh la'elokav. And we'll skip to the last bolded part now. He says, and now that a Nazir is ending his period of Naziris, v'hinehu tzarich kapara b'shuvo. Now he needs kapara in returning to the normal world. Li'tami b'taivos ha'ulam. Because now he's getting involved again in the desires of the world and very worldly, mundane kind of things. And really, the Ramban saying a Nazir should stay a Nazir forever. A Nazir is the highest elevated state. And why does he have to bring a korban chata when he ends his naziris? Because now he's lowering himself. Now he's going back to being a totally normal person, regular run-of-the-mill kind of guy. And to go from such a high level to a lower level, that the Ramban says requires him to bring a korban chata. And the Shulchan Aruch also postulates this way that it's good to be a nazir. Shulchan Aruch on source number 7 says, Hayoshe b'tani, a person who sits and fasts all the time, Im yachol lisbol hatani, nikra kadosh. If a person is able to withstand the fasting, he's called a kadosh. In the second part, you'll see in the non-bolded part of source number 7, the Shulchan Aruch passes, but if you're not really a healthy, able person, then of course you shouldn't fast. But I don't think that proves for us that the Shulchan Aruch saying it's not good to fast. Because of course, if it's going to make you a chola, if it's going to make you a sick person, then of course you shouldn't fast. But the Shulchan Aruch saying, if it's within your purview of abilities, if you are a strong, able-bodied person, then sometimes it's good to take upon ourselves fast days. Sometimes it's good to abstain from this world a little bit and to be called a kadosh, just like a nazir. So we see here, from the psukim to the gemara to the rishonim to the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, it's really unclear to us how we view a nazir. Is he a kadosh or is he a chote? And sometimes we could say, so who really cares if a nazir is a kadosh or a chote? Legend, the Torah is not really so clear about it. But it's hard for us to be neutral on this topic. It's not, the Torah is not being neutral about the state of a nazir, saying, nazir is neither here nor there. It's kind of two extremes. We're saying either he's kadosh and that's, we always aim to be kadosh. We aim to be elevated kadosh people, or it's totally a sin to be a nazir, which will bring upon an interesting question that we're going to deal with later of, if he has to bring a chatas, if it's a sin to become a nazir, then why should somebody become, why would the Torah command someone to be a nazir, right? Why is there a mitzvah if it really isn't a vera? This is similar to the question of like a melech, right? There's a big question of, should we appoint a Jewish king? Is it good to have a king? Is it not good to have a king? And the Torah gives us a mitzvah of appointing a king, but maybe it's not so good to appoint a king. We're not really sure. So similar here with the Nazir. If it might be a sin, it's kind of strange that the Torah is commanding it. So we're left with this big question of, what does the Torah view a Nazir as? How do we view a Nazir? So in order to better understand this, we're going to look at the Rambam. As we do often in GPATs, we can spend weeks. We don't usually do it because we try to move on, but sometimes we spend a few days just analyzing a Rambam, how exact the Rambam is in his Lashon, how the Rambam sometimes says one thing in one place and says a different thing in another place. So what we're going to do right now to better understand our question about Nazir is we're going to look at the Rambam's view of it. And it's going to be very interesting because we're going to see that the Rambam in one place is going to say Nazir is praiseworthy and fantastic. And another place, the Rambam is going to say that the worst thing to do is become a Nazir. No one should ever become a Nazir. And maybe to help us resolve a little bit what really we think the Rambam means and what his approach really is, we're going to look at a little passage that's going to give us insight to the Rambam himself, to the Rambam's life and the way that the Rambam led his own life. And maybe that'll give us a little more insight into how the Rambam, in fact, views a Nazir. So let's look in source number 8 at the beginning of Shita HaRambam on number 2 to explore this seemingly contradictory view of the Rambam in the context of this seemingly contradictory Psukim and Gemara and very unclear sugya about a Nazir and about how exactly we view a Nazir. Is it good to be a Nazir? Is it not good to be a Nazir? And maybe before we go on to this Rambam, you just take a moment to think about, we see these approaches in the Gemara, we see these approaches in the Psukim about maybe it's good to be a Nazir, maybe it's bad to be a Nazir. Think about which one of these resonates more with you. Do you think as yourself, as an individual, in your own midot, in your own persona, do you connect more to the idea that we should be balanced people? We shouldn't be a Nazir. We should, everything, my mom likes to always say, everything in moderation, right? She's a dietitian. So people will always ask me, do you eat super healthy in your house? Like only whole wheat food, only organic food? I say, no, we eat normal food, just balanced, everything in moderation. So do you say, everything in moderation, it's not good to be a Nazir, it's better to live a balanced lifestyle? Or do you resonate a little more with, sometimes it's good to be extreme. Sometimes those, you know, it's more comfortable to just go gung-ho, to go cold turkey. I think it's two approaches that people have in life. People who are more calibrated, more balanced, or people who like to take one extreme or the other extreme. So we're going to look a little bit at the Rambam, a great role model for us, and we're going to see, which way did the Rambam view life? Which way did the Rambam ideally see what people should do? And Lamaisa, what did the Rambam himself do? So let's go into that in source number 8. We're going to start with the Rambam's view of a Nazir. So in the Hilchot Deot, which is where the Rambam discusses what kind of person you should be, what kind of midot we should have, the Rambam talks about certain qualities, certain character traits, certain midot, which are good to have, and certain midot, which aren't good to have. And three distinct midot, which the Rambam says are not good to have, are kina, jealousy, taiva, desire, and kavod, honor. And he says, there are different ways that a person can try to distance themselves from these averot, from these negative character traits. But he says, there's a correct way, and there's an incorrect way. And here in source number 8, he's going to say, the incorrect way to distance yourself from these character traits. The Rambam says, we'll start right in the beginning in the bold part. Shema yomar adam, lest a person say, ha'wil v'ha'kina v'ha'taiva v'ha'kavod, that the jealousy and seeking honor and desire are not good quality traits, right? Everyone agrees those aren't good character traits. Ukiyoti behem derech ra'a, these are bad things. Hen umotzin es ha'adam min ha'olam, and they take a person out of this world, they're not good. So you want to get rid of them. The Rambam says, how might some people react? Some people might go cold turkey. They might totally go the other way. They might say, if I want to not do any of those things, I should totally abstain from everything. He says, a person might say, Efrosh mehem biyoter, I should totally distance myself. Ve'etz rachik letzad ha'acharon, I should totally go to the other end. Achelo, yochal basar ve'lo yishte yayin, I won't eat meat, I won't drink wine. Ve'lo yisa isha, I'll never get married. Ve'lo yeshev b'dira na'eh, I won't live in a nice apartment, and I won't wear nice clothing, and the clothing will be el hasak, v'atzemer hakasha, it'll be hard materials, it won't be good clothing. Kagon kohane ovdi kohavim, like monks, like the people of other religion who totally abstain from everything in the physical world. A person might say that if they want to distance themselves from these bad character traits, they should totally distance themselves. And they shouldn't get married. They shouldn't sleep in a nice house. They shouldn't eat meat. They shouldn't drink wine. This reminds me of a great Gemara, actually, that I love. That's related to the Churban Beit HaMikdash, where there's a Gemara that talks about how after the Churban Beit HaMikdash, there's this group of people who said, you know what? Because the Beit HaMikdash is in here and we can't bring korbanot anymore, I'm not going to eat meat ever again until the Beit HaMikdash gets rebuilt. But then other people challenged him and said, well, if you're not going to eat meat, then you also shouldn't have bread, right? Because we brought bread as korbanu in the Beit HaMikdash. They say, okay, you're right. True. We won't eat bread either. And then people come and say, well, if you're not going to eat meat or bread, you also shouldn't have wine and you shouldn't have peyrot because fruits are brought as bikurim in the Beit HaMikdash. And they say, okay, fine, we won't have any of those things. I say, and then you shouldn't even drink water because on Sukkot we put water on the Mizbeach on the Beit HaMikdash. And they say, oh, you're right. I guess it's a little too extreme of us. I guess even though we have the Korban Beit HaMikdash and we're so sad about it, I guess we'll eat all of those things just in balance and moderation. The Rambam saying you should not be like those people who said, we're totally going to separate ourselves from everything. We're totally not going to have meat. We're not going to drink wine. We're not going to have a nice apartment. He says that's not the proper way to get rid of these midot. And in fact, what's the lashon that he uses to describe a person like this? He says, hamahalich b'derech zo nikra chote. A person who acts in this manner is considered none other than a chote, a sinner. The same language that we've learned by Nazir. And he actually learns it from Nazir. He says, sharehu omer b'nazir, as it says by Nazir, v'chiper alav ma'asher chata al hanefesh. That a Nazir has to get kapara, he has to bring a korban chatat, because he did a sin, he did something wrong. So the Rambam here in Hilchot Deot is seeming to say that it's not good to be a Nazir, it's not good to separate ourselves totally from bad midot. Rather, it's much better to live a balanced lifestyle, to be a balanced personality. And later in this Rambam, he brings such nice lines that they really shed light on, I think, what he's trying to say. He says, later, just in the bolded part, not the underline anymore, he says, is a person going to say, you see in the third to last line, lo dayach masha asra Torah, what the Torah asra is not enough for me. Ela sha'ata osar alecha dvarim achayim. A person's going to start saying, I'm going to fast all the time. I'm not going to have wine. I'm not going to have meat. The Torah didn't tell us those things. Why are you adding on Easter to the Torah? Right? It's like sometimes kids will be in yeshiva. They'll be in the Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. They'll get very excited about things. They'll say, oh, I'm going to stay up all night doing nighttime until 11:30 every night. I'm going to be really machmir, eat the right huge share of matzah and Pesach, and go over the top adding all these chumras. And the Rebbeim tells these kids, yeah, slow down. Let's first do the basics, show up on time to davening, have kavana, little everyday mitzvah that we need to do. The Rebbeim is saying, no need to add mitzvah to the Torah. There's 613 mitzvah. There are plenty mitzvah for us to do. It's not necessary to start adding mitzvah to the Torah. And so when a person starts abstaining and saying, all these things are usher, that's not a good thing to do. We should stick to what the Torah gave us. And he quotes a great pasuk in the end of, where it says, Al tihi tzadik harbe, that Shlomo HaMelech said, a person shouldn't be overly righteous. Yep. My mom always says, whenever we're cleaning up the table on Friday night, we're bringing all the dishes back to the dishwasher. And, you know, you want to make the least trips possible because it's a long walk from the kitchen table to the island. So you start like stacking plates and I start taking a lot of cups in one hand, trying to balance everything so that I could bring it all in one trip. And my mom's classic line always says to us is, don't be a hero. Meaning, don't take on more than you can carry, because it has happened once, maybe twice, a few times that I start taking a lot of glasses, I start a lot of cups, and inevitably a fork falls on the floor, a glass falls, things start falling, right? If you take on too much, you can't carry everything. And so the Rambam saying, if we start adding on Isurim to the Torah, we start saying, I'm going to be a huge tzaddik. I can carry all the plates and all the forks and all the cups at once. We're going to start dropping things. We should just stick to what the Torah says. We should do it in a balanced way. We shouldn't be too extreme about it. And the Rambam seems to be very hard about this, right? He says, you're called a chote, and he really fleshes this out for us. But then in source number 9, the Rambam says, totally the opposite about a Nazir, right? Source number 8, Hilchot Deyot, the Rambam telling us how to live our life. We shouldn't be a Nazir. We shouldn't abstain from things. It's good. It's good to be balanced. It's good to be involved in this world. And then in source number 9, at the end of Rambam's Hilchot Nazir, right, there, I opened up Hilchot Nazir to find what the Rambam, if the Rambam praises a Nazir or doesn't praise a Nazir, I opened up to Rambam Hilchot Nazirus, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Halacha Aleph. And I was like, okay, here we go. It's going to be it. And instead, there were 10 prakim before of lots of Dine Naziris that we're not really familiar with nowadays because we don't really have Naziris nowadays. And so I said, instead of flipping through all these chapters, I'll be strategic. Let's look at the last halacha. Maybe that's where he says it. And in fact, that is where he says it. In the last halacha of Nazirus, the end Rambam's, you know, mic drop moment at the end of Nazir, he says, here are all the dinim of Nazir. I'll leave you with one last thought about Nazir. He says in source number 9 at the bolded part, Aval hanoder l'Hashem derech kedusha. If someone takes a neder to Hashem derech kedusha to be a Nazir in a holy manner, what do we say about the Nazir? You'd expect him to say, he's a chote, he's a sinner. That's what Rambam just said in Hilchodeya. But he says, rather, Harezeh, na'e u'meshubach. He is praiseworthy. He's wonderful. We should sing the praises of a person who becomes a Nazir. Va'alzeh ne'emar. And on this, the Pasuk says, Nazir eloka val rosho, kadosh hu la'Hashem. That he has a crown on his head, and he is kadosh la'Hashem. Here the Rambam says, a Nazir is a kadosh person. He's totally holy. So it seems very contradictory, right? What is the Rambam saying? Is he saying that a person is a holy? Or is he saying that a person is a chote? We have two halachot of Rambam Mishnah Torah, and he's saying seemingly totally different things. So now we're going to look at the letter of, how did the Rambam himself actually live his life? Right? The Rambam seems to be saying different things. So maybe if we look at how the Rambam himself lived his life, it can give us a little insight into what the Rambam really thought. And we're not going to read the whole letter inside, but the Rambam is writing a letter to one of his translators named Ibn Tibbon. And the Rambam says that he explains to us what his day in Cairo looks like. And he says that he used to run around. He would go to the Sultan and he would tend to the Sultan, tend to all the Sultan's children. He would, right, because the Rambam was also a doctor. He would give him medicine. He would do all these things. And then he would run home. He would quickly eat a small, meager meal there. He says he was almost faint with hunger, right? We see over here in source number 10, I'm almost faint with hunger. He almost couldn't even stand. He tended to all of his patients. And then he would come back and people would try to ask him shailas and ask him questions and want to sit and learn with the Rambam. But the Rambam was so busy all the time. He wasn't even eating or drinking. He was falling over with fatigue, the Rambam. And then finally on Shabbos, he could rest. But he couldn't rest. People came and asked him questions and people were always with the Rambam. So how does it seem like the Rambam is living his life there? Not really so clear. I think it's saying, if we look at this letter about the Rambam, he's kind of saying both ways. The Rambam is showing that on the one hand, he so much values being involved in this world because we see he's not always being a rabbi. Sometimes the Rambam is being a doctor. But also on the other hand, what the Rambam is doing is he's totally neglecting his own chelek in this world, his own portion of this world. He's not eating, he's not sleeping. So it's not really so clear what the Rambam says. So let's just, for the sake of time, just see quickly source number 11. Source number 11 is a famous Rambam. He talks about what is the way that a person should live their life. And the Rambam says the famous concept of the Shvil HaZahav, of the golden path a person should live his life. A person shouldn't be too much here nor there. Rather, a person should be more balanced. He should be more in the middle. And as Rabbi Kelman said, this summer I'm going to be working at Moshe Va'Ba'ir. And something that's great about Moshe Va'Ah in general, specifically this camp, is they're very chinuch-oriented in camp. And all the activities that the kids do are all chinuch-oriented. So last year, 2 years ago, we were learning about the Rambam and chinuch, and we had a little chinuch carnival. And we had this race. It was a Rambam relay race, we called it. And what the kids had to do is they had to run across a balance beam, which was called the Shvil HaZahav. They were balancing on the golden mean. And then they had to run through a bunch of hoops, and each hoop that they ran through, they had to yell out a profession of the Rambam. So they would, these little like second and third graders running on the Shvil HaZahav, and they say, doctor, rabbi, astrologist. So right, that's our concept of the Shvil HaZahav. It's like a balance beam. It's, we can't go too far one way, too far the other way. We got to stay right in the middle. The Rambam thinks we should be a balanced life. And I think this is something appealing to us, right, as modern Orthodox Jews. This is often what we say. We engage in the modern world, but also through the lens of Torah. We don't push everything away. We're not monks. We engage and we use the modern world, but we appreciate the nuance and complexity of it. And we say, we're here to appreciate it and to take the good from it, but we're not totally going to abstain from it, but also we have to do so in a balanced way. So I think that's this is a much celebrated idea of the Rambam, for us to be balanced and nuanced people. And we'll skip number 12 for now in the source of the Rambam. And go to, I think, maybe a conclusion that we can come to after all this debate about whether it's good to be a Nazir, it's bad to be a Nazir. We should engage in this world. We should be extreme, or we should be more balanced. And I think what brings home this hashkafic point we're going to see, the nuance, the distinction, is not going to be, you know, a Musar Sefer or a Rebbe where we usually get hashkafa from, but rather a Tosfos that's right on our daf in the Gemara and Tani. We're talking about a Nazir. And I'm going to explain the Tosfos outside first, and maybe we'll see a line or two inside. Tosfos says, it seems to be contradictory. In one place, Shmuel says that a person is allowed to fast all the time, and it's actually fine if he does so. And in our Gemara, Shmuel had said that a person who fasts all the time is called a chote. So he says, which one is it? Are you allowed to fast all the time, Shmuel, or are you not allowed to fast all the time? And he says, this totally mechudash, this new approach. Tosfos says, sometimes there are times where it isn't avera, it's a sin to do it, but the avera, the mitzvah overrides the avera. And sometimes a time is so pressing that we need to do something that's a little bit extreme. We need to do something that's not really the right thing to do because that's what the time calls for. He gives an example. He says, there's a concept of a tani chalom, of fasting in the event that you have a bad dream, right? If you have a bad dream, there's a concept that the next day you're supposed to fast and that should gain you atonement for your bad dream. But what happens if you have a bad dream on a Friday night and the next day is Shabbos? On Shabbos, you're supposed to have oneg Shabbos. You're supposed to enjoy Shabbos meals. So are you supposed to fast if the tani chalom happens to be on a Shabbos? And the halacha is that you are indeed supposed to fast, but it's a little bit of a sin to fast. And so in order to make up for that sin of fasting, you should fast on another day to get yourself kapara for that. And he says, this is a great example of sometime where it's a little bit of a sin to fast on Shabbos. You're not supposed to fast on Shabbos. But because you really have to get a kapara, you have to fix that bad dream that you had, still you're supposed to fast on Shabbos. And he says, so too is the mitzvah of a nazir. So too, a nazir, he's not really supposed to be a nazir, but sometimes it's called for to be a nazir. If you look in source number 14, it's a celebrated Rashi on the beginning of this week's Parsha, where the question is, why does nazir come right after Isha Sota? What's the smichu parshiot between a nazir and a sota? And Rashi says, Lomar lacha, in the bolded part in source number 14, Shekol haroa sota betokula, yazir atmo min hayayin. Anyone who sees a sota, he should become a nazir. Why? Because wine and alcohol often leads to promiscuity, and therefore, if somebody sees a sota, if someone is involved in the issue of an isha sota, he should take upon himself naziras. So what's Tosfos saying? He's saying that usually a person's not supposed to be a nazir. But if a circumstance arises in which he should, in which it's called for, in which he sees a sota, it's an extreme case, then he should be a nazir. There are certain times where it's important. And I think if we take a step back and think about this Tosfos, this can answer our major question. Tosfos is saying, I think, that usually in life, we're meant to be balanced people. We're meant to be middle of the road, shvil hazahav, like the Rambam says, to be balanced, not to be too much here, not to be too much there. But also, I think that's what people usually think. But I think we have to realize that sometimes there's room for a nazir. Sometimes we're meant to be extreme. Sometimes we have to take that extra push. We have to do something that's a little bit crazy, a little bit out of the ordinary. And I think an example of this is something that we just did this week, right? If you look in source number 16, the Rambam says, which it's a super interesting Rambam. We should all take this Rambam to heart. The Rambam says, halacha is everyone should sleep 8 hours a night. How many people get 8 hours a night of sleep? Sleep a night. Definitely not the Rambam, but the Rambam said a person should always sleep 8 hours a night. And that's a middle of the road balanced type of lifestyle. But what did we just do this week? What did we do on Leil Shavuos? We stayed up all night learning Torah. How'd we do that? Isn't that against the halacha? The Rambam says you should sleep 8 hours a night. It's, I think, what Tosfos is saying. Even though usually we should be balanced, there are times for extremes. There's times that we stay up all night because that shows our passion. That shows that we value something. That shows that we get excited about it. That even though our our normal state of being should be balanced, sometimes we got to take extremes to show that what we're passionate about, to show what we value. And right, this is what an addict or a person can go through. Let's say who takes on Aziris. Someone who's an addict, they sometimes need to say, I'm totally abstaining. I'm going totally cold turkey. And with that, they'll be able to balance themselves out again. And I think this is a big yisod that we can take from the idea of a nazir. That as a modern Orthodox Jews, as Jews who engage in this world, we often feel like we're balancing that line of the Shvil HaZahav, right? We're trying to be balanced people. We're not too extreme in this, not too extreme in that. We say we're not like the Hasidim who don't engage in the world, but we're not the secular because we appreciate the Torah and the Torah's values. And it's good to be a balanced middle of the road kind of person. But on the other hand, there are times when we should take on being a nazir. We should take on being extreme because it shows what we value. It shows what we feel like is really important in life. And sometimes that's important also. And I'll just close with the last source is my favorite Netivot Shalom. My Shana Aleph in Israel, I was very into Netivot Shalom. And he has this beautiful line about Yaakov's dream. Yaakov has a dream of a ladder. And the ladder is described as a sulam, a ladder that is mutzav arza. It's rooted in the ground, virosho magia shamayma, and the top of the ladder reaches towards the heavens. And then Tzivot Shalom says, what's the symbolism of this ladder? What does it mean? He says that all of us as people, we should be like the ladder in Yaakov's dream. He says, we should be people who are mutzav arza. We are rooted in this world. We are rooted in olam hazeh. We realize, unlike a nazir who totally abstains, we realize that there is value to what this world has to offer. There's value in the physical pleasures in the amazing world that Hashem created for us. We are people who are mutzav arza. But yet, even though we're rooted in olam hazeh, we should always feel like rosho magia shemaima. We should always feel like we're striving towards spiritual heights. We're striving towards the heavens. And he says that we're like a sulam. We're on a ladder. In life, we're not in one place all the way up high. We're not in one place low. We're always somewhere climbing on that ladder between people who are grounded in the earth, but with our heads in the heavens. And I think that this is a beautiful idea that has to do also that brings home our topic of Nazir. On the one hand, we should be like the Rambam Shvil HaZahav. We should be balanced people. We should be people who are firmly rooted. We should be Mutzav Arza. But also on the other hand, we should always feel like Rosho Megi Hashemayma. We should know that there are moments where we should be a Nazir. Take that on. Stay up all night on Shavuos. Do something crazy to show that we're passionate about it, to show that we value it. And I think that by learning about this topic of a Nazir, which seems like maybe some obscure, mundane topic that doesn't apply nowadays, maybe you can really shed a lot of light on our own lives and how we should live them, on whether a Nazir is a Kadosh or a Chotei, whether a Nazir is good or bad. We can see that there's a time for this and there's time for this. There's a time for balance and time for extremes. So my bracha to everyone going into Shabbos of Parsha Neso is that we should always be like the ladder in Yaakov's dream. We should always be people who are rooted in this world. We are mutzav arza like the Rambam, Shvil HaZahav, we're balanced, but yet always feel Rosho Magia Shemaima. Always feel like we're striving for heights to know when those moments are that we should take on being a Nazir and we should run with it. And with that, I wish everyone much hatzlacha in this endeavor of balance and finding nuance in life. And everyone have a great Shabbos Parshat Neso. I am happy to stay on for more for questions if anyone has any questions or comments or things they would like to discuss. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Okay. I think you addressed the one question in the chat box. Anybody want to add in anything, please feel free to do so. Right. Otherwise, I'll invite everybody tomorrow morning. Of course, continuing my class on the Siddur, ongoing class on the Siddur. Tomorrow we'll begin, or we just started last week, Bar Shamar. We'll get into the meat and potatoes of Psukei Dezimra. Sunday morning, Menachem Liptag begins a new series on what went wrong with the generation in the desert. Now that we're reading Sefer Bamidbar, on Tuesday morning, Lori Novick, who's back after, I think, over a year's absence, will be starting a series on reading the Talmud Levinas reading of the Talmud. That's I'll get you the exact title in a moment. Then Wednesday, Marty Lekshin continues his series on the Covenant Code. Thursday, of course, we had this morning, Dr. Lasker continues series on Karaism and Shuli Michigan, their series on development of shuls in Israel. Okay, we'll look forward to learning with you. Please invite a friend and have a Shabbat Shalom. I'll second that, and everybody be well. So thank you very much.